are. So then you see it start to creep up as the population increases, but very minimally. And I think that's sometimes a surprise to people. We see how our population is increasing. We would think demand is going to take off, but really that is constrained by the pattern of building that we see here.
Thank you.
May I ask a related question? You know, our long-term business plan historically has depended on or has favored the idea that we would sell more water. I mean, in a perfect world, TVWD would not be coming out of the system. We'd be selling more water because there are times during the year where we have more water than we can possibly use. When the reservoir gets down to a certain level, we, of course, shift to a blend of well water and reservoir water. But if the way that we manage cost over time is to sell more water, one of the variables here that's almost impossible to predict is how successful will we be selling more water regionally, correct?
Correct.
I mean, TVWD is decided to go down this path where they're going to make an extraordinary investment in an alternative water supply that may or may not be a good bet. The supply of water that they're pulling from is a heavily regulated river. The infrastructure investment is enormous. That may or may not be the best option for their ratepayers. But we, as a utility, are always looking to expand our customer base, and that includes regionally. So it seems to me it's another example of where it's hard to predict where that orange line is going to go. But if we are serious about stabilizing rates over time, we're going to want to sell more water. So just food for thought.
So I can keep watering my garden.
Please, Commissioner,
no, we're very
water
pleased
your
that
garden.
You're watering your garden. And by the way, the water that we blend in with the well water is perfectly safe. I mean, we are blessed with the two largest water supplies in the state of Oregon. One is reservoir-based. One is well water-based. And we very rarely get contacted by customers complaining about water quality when they're blended because they're both outstanding sources of clean and safe water.
Thank you. So that's all I need to have on that particular slide. Thank you. I am interested in the numbers. You said that the cost of 180 million gallons a day is much more than 160. What kind of numbers are we talking about here? I mean, obviously, that depends on the treatment modality, too. And so I'm also interested in what's the cost of membrane versus, you know, granular versus sand. And if you don't have that right now, you can get it to me later.
So
that's fine.
We'd be happy to come and talk to you. I'd rather not guess. I will just tell you that you're pumping every gallon at fairly high pressure, and the cost differences, particularly between membrane and either of the other two, are substantial, and the O&M costs are substantial.
Operations and maintenance, right. Yeah. That would be, I think, helpful for the public to know, and certainly for me to know, you know, how many zeros are we talking about here, and what's the, is it double, whatever?
Well, what I'll add to that is we have not calculated specific costs. The cost work that we did for this evaluation was comparative of the alternatives that were reviewed. So we have not picked a treatment system yet. That will be part of the project definition, and that's when we'll get specific costs for our facility.
Yeah. So proportionally would be fine. If so it's right, double, if it's triple, if it's
well,
half.
Right now, it's still our range is still $350 million to $500 million. That range has not changed. We still anticipate with the work that we've done here that we'll still be within that range.
Okay. Thank you. What is the core support media for the granular media made of? I think we all understand what sand is, but what is core support media made of?
For the slow sand?
For the
granular
option.
Media one?
Yeah.
It's also sand and gravels. There's a wider range of choices that are available, but typically they're sand and gravels.
And where do we get those from, and do we have to then suck them out and strip them and dump them somewhere afterwards?
I don't know where they come from yet. That'll be part of the detailed evaluation.
But just in general, are we trucking these in and then trucking out the sludge?
So the sand the sand that you would put in, yes, would be trucked in. It typically would be replaced 20 years, I think, is the kind of time frame that you would get. You're reusing it. You're cleaning it as you go. Yes, the process does create sludge that has to be disposed of, and that would be trucked off the site on a regular basis. So that would be the materials that are taken out of the water as part of your treatment system.
Okay, thank you. And then you mentioned we'd have an ordinance next week with some things in it. Is that when the public has the opportunity to weigh in on the choice of treatment and the location of treatment?
Well, I can jump in on this. The next week is exclusively the procurement piece. And the procurement piece, in my view, was a judgment that could be made independent of deciding the preferred options on the other three questions. It seems to me that we're going to get a lot of interest in location, capacity, and technology. And that you are being presented with preferred options, but there's no current timeline for that decision to be made. That will be within your discretion. The findings piece of having to begin to look at the procurement piece is what would be scheduled for next week, and I think it would be more efficient to limit that, since we know we have to do a filtration plan, and since the question of which procurement option is really a question independent of whatever the technology, location, or whatever. My strong suggestion is we limit next week to relevant testimony about whether there are adequate findings to do alternative procurement, and is that in the public interest, and not use that as a forum to decide the other three questions.
Okay. Then I would imagine we would at some point need that forum so that everybody says, yes, this is what we're going to go with. And I don't know when that would
be. That's going to be your call.
Okay. That was a helpful clarification. Thank you.
So I have a couple of questions. We have been using sort of this placeholder cost range of about $350 million to about $500 million. And, Mike, I know that you hate to be pressed on this issue because there are so many variables. There are so many variables, and you don't want to just sort of make up numbers. But I think Commissioner Fritz is asking a fair question because ultimately people are going to want to know about cost benefit. That was a core value that the public said to you is important. So, and I don't want to hold you to this, and I know you're going to do this, with every potential caveat. But if we were at some point to go down the path of what are the preferred options that you have laid out, can you tell us whether this would put us toward the low end, the high end, or the medium range of cost, since there is a $150 million spread? Can you give us just in relative terms a sense of whether we'd be at the top end, the low end, or the middle range?
Sir, I'm going to hold you to the statement that you wouldn't hold me to it.
Yeah.
I'll say to the lower end.
Okay, and I think what Commissioner Fritz is asking for in the short term is sort of in relative terms, the sort of what are the benefits of the three options on the table in relative terms, what are the cost differentials, without obviously putting a hard number on the overall cost, because you're not going to be able to do that until you've done a lot more work. Number two, would you remind the council, in terms of what the Water Bureau does in terms of five-year forecasting of rates, how much of the cost of this filtration plant is already baked into our five-year forecast, and what are the assumptions that you've used? Why don't you introduce yourself again?
Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer. We have included the cost of the project in the 5-year and the 10-year forecast for our budgets. I don't know what those numbers are, but we'll be happy to get them for you.
Okay, but we've been putting placeholder numbers into our forecasting because obviously, in addition to cost, another question that the public's going to have is how does this affect my rates?
Yes.
And that is something we've already been sort of anticipating and building in over the 5- and 10-year period. Another question in terms of timeline, and I have to say, and I don't have to say this because I'm the commissioner in charge today, but that was an outstanding PowerPoint presentation. And while I regret that we didn't have the room set up in the normal way we do for work sessions, I think this is one of those days when I'm glad that we were up here with screens. We were able to follow the PowerPoint carefully because you took a lot of information that's very complicated and you presented it in a very thoughtful and, I think, straightforward fashion. So thank you for that. Once we complete the transition to Commissioner Fritz, which I think is effective September 3rd, Mike, when do we have to go from preferred options to decisions? Other than the procurement, which is obviously a question that can operate independent of some of those other decisions, when do we have to be, when do you need firm guidance from the council on reaction to the preferred options and three of the four questions?
So when we, Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer, when we start putting out the RFP for a design consultant in 2019, or actually even later, 2018, we need to have the scope of what the contract is at that point. When we start talking about scope to consultants, we need to know what the preferred options are that we're going forward with. At the latest, sometime in early 2019, we'd need an answer.
I see. Good. And here's my final observation, Mayor, and this is not so much a question for the panel, but is a concern that I want to flag for you, because we have made a commitment collectively to meet some very ambitious goals under the revised community benefit agreements that the council has adopted. We have also said that the compliance with those goals is not uniquely the responsibility of an individual commissioner, but that the council is going to provide oversight. The two largest contracts that are going to involve our modified approach to community benefit agreements that I can think of are the filtration treatment plant, which may be the single most expensive project that the city will be working on. And in addition, we're going to have the Bureau of Environmental Services doing significant capital work at the Columbia Wastewater Treatment Facility. So those two, and there are others, but those two are the big ticket items which we've made a commitment on. And Mayor, what I would like to appeal to you is that I think this is the time when we need to pull together a high-level executive team that includes the chief administrative officer of the city and the head of procurement and others, and come up with a way that the city will be reviewing compliance with community benefit agreements. It seems to me that this high-level group of internal stakeholders can decide what's a de minimis, can set the floor. But given that we're looking at over $500 million worth of projects that are subject to community benefit agreements just on two of them, I think it's essential that we have that kind of oversight in the same way that we're seeing a tremendous level of oversight, let's say, on the Portland building reconstruction. We get regular emails. There's a lot of work going on to making sure that we're meeting all of our targets and goals. We want this modified community benefit agreement to work. It is a little more complicated with the utilities because the 1% set aside has to be spent on these projects. The benefits cannot accrue to projects outside of the utilities because obviously we have to make sure that our dollars benefit our ratepayers. So there is a unique complexity there. But what I would ask, Mayor, is that you direct the chief administrative officer to convene the internal stakeholders that need to be convened to meet on a regular basis and to provide a level of internal oversight into the project that Commissioner Fritz will be overseeing and the project that I will be overseeing at the wastewater at a minimum, and there will be others, because those are the two largest projects subject to the CBA, and we've made significant commitments to our labor partners. I think we've learned that the technology oversight process works very effectively. We get, you know, rankings on capital construction projects generally within the city. But this is unique because there are a lot of moving pieces, and we've made some very bold, set some very bold goals in terms of MWESB participation and other things. So I would ask that you direct the CAO to make that a priority so that we have the confidence as a council that these projects are being managed to the expectations of the CBA process we put into place.
I'm all for it, and just as a footnote to that, the CAO will in turn ask that we have the support of all the commissioners who are in charge of those respective bureaus to come to the table and be able to do that. So assuming we have that agreement, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I you have certainly the council in adopting the revised CBA said that it's a council-wide concern. We look forward at the Bureau of Environmental Services to being invited to the table to answer questions, to engage in a back and forth, and to also be able to raise problems as they arise and to seek solutions. But we've made this commitment, and we want to honor it.
Very good.
And, Mayor, that concludes our presentation. And, I want to thank our outstanding team for an enormous amount of work that went into this. I was reluctant at one point, colleagues, to ask for a preferred option, because sometimes in our work, when you put a marker down, it becomes a target. It did seem to me, given the level of engagement that has preceded the analysis and then this point, that it would be a missed opportunity not to have a loose placeholder put down. I think the benefit of a preferred option is that it is anchored in the analysis that they've done. It is well supported, in my opinion, by the model that they've used in terms of making a decision. But ultimately, it is for the commissioner in charge and the council to decide what is the proper path forward. What you have is an initial recommendation and a set of parameters for making that decision. And it seems like there is also some additional time to engage broader stakeholders if that is the wish of the new commissioner in charge.
Good. And this is a great framework, and I'm appreciative as well. I do have one concern, and the good news is I'm giving you lots and lots of lead time to work on this. I noticed in your time frame coming back to the council, there is a point at which we will be approving the methodology and the contract. Is that correct?
Yes.
This is a large, complex contract using a complex methodology. And I will just fess up right now. I am not an expert on either. And so the question that I will pose to you then, and I'm giving you at least it seems like a year of lead time, on what basis do I need to evaluate that proposal? Help me understand that in advance of that decision. Anything else?
One last thing. In addition to thanking the Bureau team for their outstanding work, I want to acknowledge the work of Todd Lofgren. Todd has been my liaison to both utilities. So we got a twofer over the past number of years with Todd serving as my liaison to both the Water Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services. Todd has worked tirelessly on this, helping us get it right. I want to thank him. I think one of the things I really look forward to as we make this transition is we have worked hard to come up with some ways of looking at the utilities through a single lens. Like, for example, we've done some at budgeting. We've brought both utilities in order to create some common frameworks for looking at rates and rate increases and presentations to council. I look forward to continuing to do that with my colleague, Commissioner Fritz, wherever we can work together so that the messaging with the public is consistent, because there are many things that overlap. And obviously, at our rate hearings in particular, the public sees one bill. We're the two constituent parts. And the more we do, I think, to explain how they are complementary, the better. But Todd has been just tireless in his work. And as we make the transition, Todd will be transitioning to the Parks Bureau, where he will be my liaison to the Parks Bureau. So we're going to be in good hands. So thank you very much.
Very good. Thanks, everybody. Great presentation. We're adjourned.
Thank you.